Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this Advent evening meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 41 to 45. It's not found in your bulletin this evening. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, whose coming we eagerly await and look forward to, dear fellow redeemed, Sir Isaac Newton first presented his three laws of motion in 1686. The third law of motion states, "For every action in nature, there is an equal and opposite reaction." I was thinking of this third law as we settled on our theme for this Advent season, the theme being reactions to Jesus' birth. Now, I'm pretty sure Sir Isaac had not this action in mind, the birth of the God-man, the Savior of the world, but there definitely were equal and opposite reactions to this action. In this Advent season, we'll be looking at three of those reactions. The first, the reaction of an unborn baby boy named John. Second, the reaction of a jealous yet fearful king named Herod. And thirdly, the reaction of some believing shepherds. Most actions cause a reaction, whether it's motion or not. For example, a little more than 2 years ago, when we had the financial crisis, due mainly because of the housing market collapse and the liquidations of so many loans, there was a reaction. In the election of 2 years ago, many Democrats were elected. They took over the House, the Senate, and the White House. There was an equal reaction. The liberals pushed their agenda, and there was a multi-billion dollar stimulus plan that was passed and implemented. A universal health care plan was passed, and the nation is $13 trillion in debt. The opposite reaction then was the organization of the Tea Party. And this past fall in our elections, many Republicans were elected. They took over the House. And the Democratic president doesn't have as much power as before. So, what will be the reaction or opposite reaction in the next 2 years? Or 2 years from now? Time will tell. Well, there's also reactions to the birth of babies. Usually the reaction is congratulations and thanksgiving to the Lord for keeping the mother safe and bringing forth a healthy little child. There's reactions also in the lives of the parents. Now they're responsible for a new little baby. And if it's the first time parent, that reaction is overwhelming. It could go from fear and trembling, anxiety, apprehension, to bewilderment, awe, as well as joy and happiness. But there has never been a birth in the history of the world that has caused so many reactions as the birth of our Savior Jesus. And the first reaction we'll be discussing this evening is the miracle of God's grace. It's a reaction of another baby, not even born yet. After the angel Gabriel left Mary and told her that she would give birth to the Savior, the Son of God, she immediately took off for the hill country to visit her cousin Elizabeth. She wanted to share her good news with Elizabeth, and also wanted to rejoice with Elizabeth's good news that in her old age, she too was going to give birth to a baby, a boy. Even as God caused these two miraculous conceptions to take place in these mothers' wombs, he caused another miracle to take place as soon as they met one another. For as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's words of greeting, her unborn baby leaped in her womb, and she was filled with a special revelation of the Holy Spirit, and she spoke by inspiration and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped from my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Through a miracle of grace, a special revelation from the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth now knew what only Mary knew, that Mary was going to give birth to the God-man, the Savior of all the world. And that's why Elizabeth speaks the very same words to Mary that the angel Gabriel said to Mary when he began to speak to her, and he said, "Blessed are you among women. The greatest honor the Lord could bestow upon a woman is to give birth, to bear his only son." What a special blessing it is for any woman to conceive, to carry for 9 months under her heart, in her womb, a baby, and then give birth. Every conception and birth is a miracle of God's grace, a gift of life. But the greatest blessing a woman can enjoy is the blessing of giving birth to the Son of God. And yet that wasn't Mary's greatest blessing. Elizabeth tells us, "Blessed is she who believed." The greatest blessing for Mary is that she believed this. She believed that her son would be her Savior. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Elizabeth shows by these words that she too believes that Mary, that her unwed virgin cousin would give birth to the Savior of all of mankind. We also hear of another witness to this greeting of Mary, an unborn witness, one who leaped for joy because he too was in the presence of his Lord and his Savior. Now, every one of you women who has ever given birth have felt the baby move in your womb. We as fathers have also felt the baby kicking. Have you seen a little bump when they stick their hands and their feet and they're stretching in the woman's womb? So maybe that's what they're talking about here, a natural movement, right? Or maybe Elizabeth's joy and excitement got the baby all excited and he started moving around too, right? No, neither of these. If you remember back to last Sunday, we heard the angel Gabriel speak to Zacharias and say to him about his son John, "For he, John, will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." The unborn baby John was reacting to Mary's words of greeting under the influence of the Holy Spirit. There's a miracle of the Holy Spirit working upon the heart of the unborn baby. He used to be the forerunner of this Savior. And already, even before his birth, he's excited. He's leaping for joy in his presence. This is his first meeting with his Lord and his Savior, even though they can't see one another. Do we find this odd? Kind of strange? Unbelievable? No, we shouldn't. The Holy Spirit that worked on Elizabeth's heart also worked on John's heart. The spirit is not bound by the age of reason in children. That would rob him of his omnipotence and rob the gospel of the power that it has that the Holy Spirit uses. And if the Spirit can work on unborn baby John, then the Spirit can work on any unborn baby or any newly born baby to create faith in their hearts. To say that babies cannot believe is denying the power of the Holy Spirit and casting doubt on this evening's text. What excitement, what awe and wonder these about-to-be mothers experienced as they saw the glory of God and the fulfillment of almost 4,000 years of prophetic history. What a humble response we hear from Elizabeth. She says, "But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" In other words, why am I so favored to have this visit from the mother of my Lord and my Savior? Elizabeth acknowledged her sins here, acknowledged her unworthiness, that her cousin was the mother of her Savior and her Lord. As greatest of miracles, God becoming man, Emmanuel, God with us in human flesh and blood, was believed by Elizabeth. Had John the Baptist rejoicing by leaping in the womb, but is denied by many people today, even by religious leaders and theologians. They use their wisdom, they use their reason, they use their vaunted intelligence, and they come up with these kind of statements. The notion of the pre-existent Son of God becoming a human being in the womb of a virgin and then returning to his heavenly home is bound up with a mythological picture of the world that clashes with our modern scientific worldview. The primary interest of the study of doctrine is to interpret the virgin birth as a symbol and not as a freakish intervention in the course of nature. Biblically, the birth narratives in Matthew and Luke seem to call for a symbolic or mythical reading. Reading them symbolically seems to be truer to the text than reading them as historical descriptions. And all four of those statements were written by so-called Lutheran scholars. How did Elizabeth react to the good news of the coming birth of Jesus? She humbly listened to the word of God and believed. She didn't use her intelligence or her intellect or her reason or her wisdom. She simply believed. How did John react? He leaped for joy. Mary was expecting the Son of God, not through a freakish intervention of nature, but through a miraculous intervention of nature. The Holy Spirit implanted him into her womb so that he would be both God and man in one person. There are certainly different reactions to the incarnation of Jesus, even to this day. We mentioned many believe it's a myth. It's interesting. We read these words from the Lutheran scholars that say it's a myth, and the atheists are putting up billboards saying it's a myth. They're kind of in the same boat there. Or they say it's symbolical. Others just yawn at it and say, well, who cares? Others celebrate the celebration, but not the event of the celebration. And the others don't even care either. Reminds me of the devotion I read just the other day, talking about sunlight and reactions. The devotion said, "The reaction of a teenager when the shades are drawn and the morning sun shines through on a weekday morning is generally running over and pulling their blankets over their head. While the reaction of young children to the sunrise on Christmas morning will be leaps of joy." We pray that our reaction to Jesus' birth is the same as John. Great joy. Even if after 20, 40, 60, 80 years of celebrating his birth is ours, is there still joy? The kind of joy we had when we were 10-year-olds? The joy of knowing that Jesus, the Son of God, the God-man, has come to take our place. May the Holy Spirit lead us to react as John did, leaping for joy, because we know that Jesus came, become one of us, save us from our sins. And one of the greatest acts of service in God's kingdom that we can perform this Christmas season is to do what John did, leap for joy, and then testify about Jesus Christ as Lord. The simple act of telling another human being that his whole purpose for existing and being born is to eventually know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and have God's love in his heart with the forgiveness of all his sins. There are too many people in this world who walk around with a spiritual hole in their heart and soul. They try to fill that hole with all kinds of excitement. That's why they celebrate Christmas, because there's excitement and joy. But if it's a secular celebration, that hole remains empty and unsatisfied. But having faith worked in our heart, is a blessing from the Holy Spirit, and it comes alone through the Word. Mary, Elizabeth, and John all had this in common. They heard the Word of God, and they believed it. They kept it. By faith, they were made willing servants of the Word, both the Word in the Scriptures, as well as the Word incarnate in Christ. They saw in Christ God's divinity joined together with humanity in his conception. Jesus' life sanctified our life. Jesus' death has forgiven us all of our sins. There's no greater blessing or no greater honor than to be brought to faith and believe in this. Believe in Jesus and be one of his servants. And so we join John and Elizabeth and Mary in being messengers of the good news that this Jesus is born in human flesh and blood. He came to this earth to show us his love, to live a perfect life, to die that remarkable death, and to rise victoriously from the grave. For he himself is our peace. This Christmas and forevermore. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Priceless worth, hear the prayer our faith sends forth, with love that for us gave your life, to save us from eternal strife. Make us on fire to love you more, with heart and soul and treasure store. Amen.